Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Hi, and welcome to the VI Talk in the Kitchen series. I am hosting this evening, and we have got Emma, who is going to take us through how to get yourself a hot drink. So I will hand it over to you, Emma.
Okay, evening, everybody. My name's Emma. I am registered blind, and I work with young people teaching them independent living skills. I primarily work with 16 to 18 year olds, but sometimes I work with some of our younger students as well. Tonight we're going to look at different ways to make a hot drink. So we're going to start off by making a cup of tea using the kettle, and then we're going to move on to making a hot chocolate using a hot water dispenser. I understand that not everybody feels comfortable with a kettle, so we're going to look at the option of a hot water dispenser, but also not everybody also wants to be using something different or having more equipment in their kitchen. And it is useful sometimes to know how to use a kettle. For example, if you go away to a hotel, some hotel rooms only have a kettle. Some that I've been to do have things like coffee machines, which can be useful because basically you put the cup under and it dispenses, a little bit like the hot water dispenser does. So I am seeing more and more hotels and hearing from other blind people that more and more hotels are having these kinds of coffee dispensing machines, which are easier to use than a kettle. So to start with, we're going to look at using the kettle. So we're going to look at making a cup of tea. One of the issues that lots of blind people have is knowing how much milk to put in. It's quite difficult to tell whether you've got enough or too much. And, you know, lots of people are quite fussy about, you know, how they have their tea, how milky or not milky it might be. So this is quite a controversial idea, but what I'm going to suggest is that you put the milk in first. Put the milk in first, you've got more of an idea of how much you've got in the bottom of the cup. So it's only a tiny drop that we're going to be putting in anyway. So it's not going to make a difference too much to the temperature. So it still should brew, although it might brew slightly slower just because of the liquid being slightly cooler. So I'm just going to get some milk. So when we're looking at putting milk in a cup, what I would recommend is that with something like a milk container, if you struggle with a big one, buy a 2-pinter or even a 1-pinter. They're much easier to pour from than the really big 4-pinters or 6-pinters. And what I would recommend is that you, when you are pouring from a milk container, is that you put it right up against the cup and then slowly tilt it so the side of the bottle is sliding down the kind of the rim of the cup, so that in the end you've got the top of the milk bottle resting on the lip of the mug. And then you can use your hand to lift it up at the other end with your finger in the bottom of the mug so that you can feel how much milk is going in there. And pour slowly so that you're not going to have too much coming out in one go. Okay, so next we're going to look at the kettle. So if you're making a hot drink with the kettle, I would recommend that you don't fill it up all the way. If we've gone up to that maximum mark, even if you know where the maximum mark is, it's quite difficult to pour from, and the water's going to come out much quicker. So think about listening to that sound as you're putting the water into the kettle, the pitch and how it changes so that you know how much water is going in, and just put a little bit more than what you need for making one drink. So I've already put some water in my kettle. I'm just going to turn it on and boil it. So once it starts boiling, I won't talk too much because you might not hear me. So whilst the kettle is boiling, I'm going to talk a little bit about what you do once the kettle has boiled. So I would wait for a few seconds for that residual steam just to dissipate. If you have a plastic kettle, it is not going to get as hot as if you have a metal kettle. Unfortunately, I do have a metal kettle because I like the look of it, but a plastic kettle would not get as hot. So once it has boiled and that residual steam has dissipated, we're going to do a similar thing with the kettle as we did with the milk bottle. So we're nearly there. I also should have said that what I've got in front of me as well is I've got the mug on a tray, so that if you have a spillage, that liquid is caught. It's not going to run all over the place, but it will just catch on the tray. I also have on the tray a spoon, and it's not a teaspoon, it's a bigger spoon. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit about why I've got that in a moment. So what we're going to do is we're going to put the kettle, okay, up against the mug again, and we're going to slide it down so that the spout is resting. Now what I'm using is I'm using the back of my fingernail to feel where the spout is on the cup, because the kettle is hot, and if I touch it with my skin, I can feel that bit. If I touch it with the back of my nail just to check that it's in the right place, then I'm not going to burn myself. So as I'm tipping the kettle, I'm listening to the sound of the water going in. And what happens is the pitch rises as the water is going up the mug. Now what I'm doing with my finger now is I'm sliding it up the outside of the mug, so you can actually feel where the top of that liquid comes, because the space at the top of the mug means that that top part of the mug is cooler on the outside. Okay, so I'm going to give it a quick swirl with my spoon and get it nice and strong. So I'm actually using a soup spoon rather than a teaspoon. And the reason that I'm doing that is because the spoon itself has got a bigger surface area, so we're likely to have better success in removing that tea than we would with a teaspoon. So what I'm going to do, because we're not going to drink this tea, so it doesn't matter how long it brews for, I'm sliding my spoon down the inside of the mug, and when it hits the bottom, that's when I'm going to tip the spoon and I'm going to lift it, and I've caught my tea bag. Okay, so that's our tea. Any questions so far? No? Okay. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to move over to the hot water dispenser, and we're going to look at making a hot chocolate using the hot water dispenser. So I will, usually I will describe the hot water dispenser. So it's a big tank that is wider at the bottom than it is at the top. On the top, it has a little hatch that opens so that we can pour the water in. So this is made by Breville. Now, Breville made a model before this one where you could remove the water tank, take it to the tap, put it under the tap and fill it up that way. Unfortunately, they don't make that that model anymore. And this particular model, you can't put it under the tap. So you need to use something else to fill up the tank. So there's a couple of different options. So this particular hot water dispenser dispenses 250 mils in one shot. So you could use something like a 500 mil Coke bottle, fill it up at the tap, put your finger in the top, make sure you've got enough water, and use that to tip that into your hot water dispenser. You know then that you're definitely going to have enough water. I tonight have got a jug, so I'm just going to get some water so I can fill it up. Okay, so I've opened the little hatch on top, and I'm just holding the jug in one hand, and I'm just using my other hand to make sure that the spout is over the hot water dispenser, and I'm tipping it in. So, on the top of the hot water dispenser, we have two buttons. One of them is the on button, and one of them is the reset button. So if you press your on button and you think, oh no, I've forgotten to put the cup underneath, then you can press the reset button and it will turn it off, and then you can start the process again. So we have a spout on the front of the machine that points downwards, and below that spout we have a little drip tray that the mug is going to stand on. What I've put underneath the hot water dispenser is a tea towel, because if you do have any spillages, or like I say, you forget to put the mug under, then hopefully it will soak up some of that liquid rather than it spreading out all across your worktop. So what I've got this evening is I've got a sachet of hot chocolate powder. Sorry, I've moved it and I can't find it. So, got a sachet of hot chocolate powder. Now, these are individual sachets. Makes one cup. Some people choose to buy these because they might take them to work or whatever, but others might choose to buy them because they're not having to think about spooning it out of a big container, spilling it everywhere, and it's something else to wipe up. So you might think, well, the sachet, they're quite difficult to get into. They can be quite difficult to get into. But a little trick is to get your mug, your empty mug, and to stand the sachet in the mug. If you stand the sachet in the mug, it gives you two free hands then to use your scissors to help you open the sachet. One for the scissors, guide the scissors onto the sachet. Some people struggle when the scissors are sort of waving around at the top of the packet. So actually, you could even use the top of the mug as a guide and lay your scissors across the top of the mug and then cut the packet with them on top of the mug, which is what I've just done. You then can tip your chocolate powder into your mug. Okay, and I'm going to put the mug just on the bottom of the hot water dispenser, and just making sure that it's definitely in the right place with the spout over the mug. So by using this, it's eliminating that pouring process. That is often the part of the process that lots of people who have maybe lost residual vision or have gone blind later in life, they find that part really difficult, being able to adjust to seeing pouring a kettle to then be able to feeling. So that eliminates that part of the process by using the hot water dispenser. So I've turned it on. It just boils the water that it needs. So it doesn't boil all the water that's in there, only boils what it needs. And then it will dispense it into our mug of hot chocolate.
So it's just boiling the water. It's now dispensing the water into the mug. Excellent. So all done. I'm going to lift it off and then I'm just going to use my spoon to stir. Again, if you like sugar in hot chocolate, or you like extra milk in hot chocolate to give it that creamy texture, I would think about putting it in first. So the hot water dispenser obviously can be used for making lots of different hot drinks. But when I teach my students, we also talk about snacks that you can make using it. So we'll talk about things like hot noodles, pasta pots. We'll do things like make jelly, instant mashed potato, gravy, custard, and then old porridge as well. So you can buy porridge pots, and it's quite good for making porridge pots. If you like your porridge with water. Okay, so that's me done. So any questions?
Can you get one? Is it just for one mug or two mugs, these dispensers?
They're for one mug.
Okay.
But you could, you know, you could do one straight after the other. That wouldn't be a problem at all. And I talked about using a bottle to fill it up, so you could just put, you know, more water in it. This one holds 1.5 liters, so you know, you could potentially fill it up at the beginning of the day and then you'd be able to make yourself three or four drinks with it.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, yeah, any cool.
I like that.
You like, oh, the hot water dispenser.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. So if you're interested in the product, and you know, they're not paying me to say this, I promise you.
No, I believe it.
So it's actually called the Breville Hot Cup, the current model.
Yeah.
If you want to go and look for it on Amazon, other places sell it as well.
Yeah.
There are other models available. There are ones out there that have like a slider for an adjustable cup size. So this one just does one cup size, 250 mils.
Mm-hmm.
But you can buy them that can adjust it anything from, I think it's about 150 mils up to 300 mils. So so you can adjust how much water it dispenses.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. So, Emma, just out of curiosity, have you ever seen the Velvetizer?
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's how I make hot chocolate, because that has been the easiest way.
Lovely.
Yeah. Do you know about the Velvetizer, Julie?
No. What's that?
Go on, you explain.
Okay. Don't want to steal your thunder here, Emma.
No.
So it's a little kind of pot that it essentially acts like a kettle, but you put all your products inside the kettle. So you add a milk, and the nice thing is the cups that come with the Velvetizer are exactly how much milk you need to put in to make your hot chocolate. Now, this would only work if you want, well, you can make it with hot water instead, but I like creamy hot chocolate, so it works for me.
Oh, definitely.
And so you pour the cup of milk into the pot. Then you add the chocolate. Now, you can use regular instant. Obviously, it's a hotel chocolate product. So they sell their hot chocolates are amazing. But you can use regular instant hot chocolate as well if you choose to. And then you just put it in, put the lid on, press the button, and it boils and whisks your hot chocolate for you. And then you could just pour it directly from the hot chocolate back into the cup. I do find the cups are slightly small. You have to be really careful, quite precarious on pouring them, but there's no reason you couldn't use a bigger cup. My thing is I like big I like a big cup. Mine's a mug of tea, not a cup of tea.
Yeah.
So I find sometimes using a bigger cup, and I don't know if this is your experience, Emma, that it helps you to kind of just not put that pressure on yourself to, so you know, there's plenty of room to kind of have water go. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I would always use a bigger cup, always. Yeah. It you're right, it just gives you that little bit of extra sort of breathing space, really, in a way, in terms of, you know, not worrying so much about spilling it or overfilling the cup.
Yeah, definitely. That's really good. I learned stuff today, so yeah.
Oh, wow. So obviously, you know, what I do is kind of, it's learn. I have a great team that I work with, and you know, we all come up with ideas and solutions of how to, you know, overcome tasks. So you know, we work really well together. So, you know, what I'm doing and what I'm telling you now isn't, you know, it's not Bible. It's not. No, it's just
everyone finds their own way, don't they? Everyone finds their own method.
Yeah. So you know what I'm telling you is you don't have to go away and do it. Definitely not. But it's just ways that we found that you know do work quite well, really.
Perfect.
So some of the things that Joe and I talked about for maybe future sessions would be looking at cooking. Reheating food in the microwave without being able to read the cooking instructions.
Yep.
So have a little method for doing that.
Yeah.
Talked about making sandwiches or spreading, because spreading can be quite a big issue for some people.
Yeah.
You know, in like, you know, butter, digging up the bread, you know, holes in your bread, that kind of thing. And then we talked about maybe looking at air fryer cooking as well. So those were some of the ideas that we had of things that we might do in future sessions. But we just wanted to see how it went, really, before we sort of thought much further down the line than that, really.
Thank you so much, Emma. That's been really helpful.
Okay.